time to get up with the Browns, who came oh so close to beating the Chiefs. But did Cleveland show they have the formula to upset KC come playoff time? Plus, Jameis Winston and the Saints put it on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Should we all relax, or are the issues in Green Bay way bigger than anyone realizes? And the Steelers made the Bills pay on Sunday, but did any of our experts see Pittsburgh as a serious title contender in the AFC? Let's get up.
She brought some juice.
Yo!
Out of a subtle reading, let's get up.
I just got to ease them in. Welcome to Get Up, empowered and presented by T-Mobile. It is a big week in the NFL. It is a bigger week in House Greenberg. That is why Greeny is not here week one, because Stevie is headed to college, his son. So that is where Greeny is today. He will be back tomorrow. Today.
He's Wilson.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Zach and Wilson. He changes his name based on the savior of the Jets.
Gotcha. Yes. There it is. Yeah, the good news for Greeny is that he doesn't have to talk about the fact that for a second straight year, the best Jets player is a punter. Rex Ryan, Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, L. Duncan. Let's get you to the big game. We had the Chiefs and the Browns, and it was a good one. Lived up to everything as advertised. Coming in two different streaks. Patrick Mahomes never lost in September. Well, the Browns can't seem to win a season opener. Here, Dan, Mahomes scrambling.
Now, I always say this, as physically talented as Patrick is, his greatest ability is everything is slow to him. And we often see it most when he scrambles. The game is just slow and he's always making the right move.
He ran almost 40 yards on that play, according to Next Gen. Nick Chubb is reliable as they come here. So much explosion.
Man coverage on defense, you get counter, seal the edge, and it's just a wide open hole for 24.
But RC, here come the Chiefs, third quarter, Mahomes in the red zone. He's going to find a familiar target here in Travis Kelce.
Hey, Travis Kelce, it's an option route. He gets right outside, finishes the play. In the end zone, and you know we gonna dance.
You also know how important tight end play is to the Browns. Here he connects with David Njoku, does Baker a 30-yard gain.
Yeah, fantastic throw. Second and four, you get in a run formation, play action, run away from man coverage. It's beautiful, and then Kareem Hunt off that left edge of the offensive line finishes for a score for Cleveland.
So the Browns are up by nine. It's like, when are the Chiefs gonna figure this thing out? Maybe here?
Hell, there's 7,831,645,000 people in the world.
How many can make that play?
Only one of them can make that line. That's the difference between 15 and everybody else.
Unbelievable. The Chiefs. Like, who can do this?
Who tries to do this? It's
Patrick Mahomes. So
when you got a half a billy on a contract, yeah. You do stupid
remarkable
things.
Stupid if it doesn't work, but it did. This did not work. Rex, I know you love kickers. What did Jamie Gillen do
here? Yeah, great. Hey, you know what? They never punted all day until this play right here. Are you kidding me, dude? You got one job to do. Catch the darn thing. I can sit back, catch it, and punt it. You lost the game. Congratulations.
It very much looks like a Browns team that has not won a season opener in 17 seasons, and then you knew this was going to happen. Mahomes finds Kelce. Let's take another solo shot of the punter. Baker Mayfield here with the Browns still having an opportunity. What happens, Dan?
Yeah, I truly believe he's trying to throw this football away. Okay. And Tony Romo was saying it in the production that, you know, he's trying to scramble, move, and then his foot gets clipped up. I think he's trying to throw that ball out of bounds. It's a beautiful job by the rush and the coverage tying together, and Baker smashing going. That one mistake just could not happen.
He was so good before this. Nonetheless, the Chiefs hold on to win.
I think we just have a lot of belief in this team. We've been in those situations before, and we think that we can win no matter what the situation is. And then getting that play to Tyreek kind of got the crowd back into it. And when you're at Arrowhead and that crowd's rolling, it gets the defense going, and it kind of translates to the offense. And so I'm just glad that we found a way to win against a really good football team.
You have to execute critical moments. Nothing else matters before those moments. You know, it always comes down to those 3-4 plays that you look back on and say, wow, if we would have done this differently, it would have worked. So I'm going to be hard on myself, but go back and attack this week, and you got a home game. And it's going to be a good one.
And that was the point. I intimated it. Just he was so good until that terrible decision to throw that interception. Yeah. Your biggest takeaway from that game, RC.
Is that the Cleveland Browns are contenders. You know, people are going to look at this game and everybody's going to talk about the one play from Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield played well yesterday. The run game was exactly what we expected. And the defense was better. You just happened to be playing Patrick Mahomes. And I said it last week. Listen, moral victories are for losers and monks. This isn't a moral victory. This is a team that has to make plays in the critical moments.
Yeah.
But who here sitting at this table ever thought the Kansas City Chiefs were going to lose? Nobody. And I also feel like the Cleveland Browns felt that way as well. When you have Patrick Mahomes, yeah, you have a history of winning, you find ways to make winning plays. L mentioned it early on, right? Patrick Mahomes has never lost in September, and the Cleveland Browns are now going on 17 openers that they haven't won. One team knows how to win football games, the other doesn't. The Cleveland Browns have to figure out a way to do that if they want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs.
But, Ryan, I look at it this way, man. I mean, you asked who thought Cleveland was going to win. Going into the game, I didn't. But the way the game was going, I certainly did, sure, man. I mean, when I'm looking at this, you know, they were bludgeoning the Chiefs. You know, and look, we know that defense is not very good for the Chiefs. They always get all ticked off about it when we say it. But it's true. It's a fact. But we see the highlight of Chubb.
Yep. Yep.
Man, I don't care what it is, dude. You got to have somebody, you know, to
well, no,
to
play. Nobody
there was
there,
no
right?
force. Yeah. There was no, I mean, there was no fill. There was no sure. force. There was no nothing. And to me, they were running through him like, you know what? It was 7 yards a carry is basically what they averaged in this game. So to me, yeah, they did what, you know, they were dominating the football game. What happened, though, is they lost a little discipline at the end, patience on defense. Mm-hmm. And what happened? They got out of the too high safety look, and what happens? Mahomes does it like stupid. The only man on the planet, throws it down the field against a single high safety. And to me, I was like, what are you doing back there? You know, make this team run. They're not going to run. But to me, this team, if you're a fan of Cleveland, they're sitting back saying, oh, yeah, we got the team. We got the team. And here's why. They had 35 snaps with the lead. Kansas City had 8.
Yeah.
And so to me, they outplayed them. By the way, the guy with the hair, is, the punter, he's the one who lost the damn game, not Baker Mayfield.
You only need one snap with the lead, and that's the victory for
them.
And they made it.
I think my takeaway is Baker Mayfield was the most accurate quarterback in football yesterday, except for one throw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the interception to me. The throw to Anthony Schwartz in the fourth quarter.
It's short.
This right here. I mean, Baker, you're the most accurate quarterback in football yesterday. You got to make that throw. It's a perfect read. You got the leverage on Thornhill. Just lead him to the sideline. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to see out of Baker to make that step. Number two, the Browns are great, but they're great. But the only word that I will associate with Cleveland for the rest of the season is but. Are you going to be good enough to beat Kansas City? But are, I know you're great. We know
but they're
great.
I don't think they're great. I think they have great talent.
No, they're great.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed, though, Coach, because you're Rex Ryan. You don't believe in moral victories. And
no.
It feels like you're saying this was a moral victory.
Well, I'm saying
because
it because
be
if I'm a fan, of course, if I'm in the locker room as a coach or a player, hell no, that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But as a fan, you're like, shoot, my team right here was killing Kansas City.
I would say defensively,
you know,
I would say that the disappointment I have from that new defense in Cleveland was the Travis Kelce becomes the game winner down in the red zone.
Yeah, how's he beat you?
It's the third time they've seen that play.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though.
You and I both know this team underachieves on defense.
Yes.
That's where they have to improve. This offense, my gosh, look, Ryan, if you and me were on that thing playing our defense, we bludgeon this team. We kill Patrick Mahomes.
But Rex.
But they don't, and they have unbelievable talent on defense. They need to play like it, recognize it. They don't. They recognize it on offense now.
Here's the thing. You said if you're a Browns fan, you feel good because they were beating up. You should have felt good in the playoffs last year because same thing, they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, right?
Right.
The whole point is, when are they going to take that next step?
Well,
if this was
thing.
Supposed to be a measuring stick game, right? This isn't
we know
about,
they're really good.
This is a good Browns team. On paper, we say that they're probably one of the best rosters in the entire NFL.
Right.
You had an opportunity to finally show you had taken that next step, and you did not do it, and yet again, you played until the very end and faltered.
If these teams meet again, the two things we are all going to say is, will Baker Mayfield make the throw that's needed when it's needed, and can the defense get a stop when it's needed? And until we at Cleveland, we're not going to question if they're great. They're a really, really good football team. Those will be the two questions. And yesterday, both situations kind of presented themselves, and neither one happened.
Yeah, the funny thing is that they punt the football, they win the game.
Sure.
Dude drops the ball.
Right.
Like, are you kidding? The only time they punted.
Yeah.
You know, up until that point. Like, do your job. Punt the football. And that's what you talk about, it taking the air out of the balloon. Right there. That was it. And then, you know, everything else caved in after that point right there. If you're a punter, either get a haircut and learn how to catch a long snap.
Now he's like, it's the hair. It's the hair.
That's what it was.
He wasn't aerodynamic enough, is the problem.
Be, you know, like Joe Cool walking around with that hair. Catch the ball.
The good news for Browns fans is they still did that without Odell Beckham Jr. As well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So much more coming up, including Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, there's getting beat and there's getting beat down. And that's exactly what happened to them. Should we all relax or are there serious issues in Green Bay? Hear what Rodgers had to say about that next. Plus, the Steelers made life miserable for the Bills yesterday. So why do our analysts still have doubts about Pittsburgh being a serious contender? You too, Ryan Clark?
Not me. Dan.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. Al Duncan, Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky. America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network is T-Mobile. And in part, the last man now streaming exclusively. FX on Hulu and ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Read the prompter, they said. What? What is that? We're back on Get Up. I'm just so excited to talk football. Packers and Saints in Jacksonville. Of course, this is supposed to be a Saints home game. Nonetheless, filled with Packers. Jameis Winston making his debut. Best Saints player, though, still Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they use him in that jet motion. They give him that little flip toss, and he's allowed to get on the edge. Early touchdown for the Saints.
Of course, so they're up 10-0. It counts as a touchdown for Jameis Winston.
Ensuing Packers possession, we knew they'd have no David Bakhtiari, but Rodgers here trying for the play action.
This is a great play by the defense. Yeah. Davenport stays outside, hand up, doesn't allow Rodgers to make that throw. And then this is awesome by Juwan Johnson. Just, I've got to go to the back pylon. It's covered. I'll hold up. And just, Jameis, give me a high ball where I can go up top and dunk on them. Touchdown Saints again.
And they do. They go for it on fourth down and it pays off. How about this one? How about introducing yourself to the NFL, the rookie Paulson Adebo with the pick here, RC?
Listen, Paulson hasn't played football in about 2 years.
Yeah.
And you get the pick off Aaron Rodgers. This is Pac-12 on Pac-12 crime. Stanford and California Bears. Way to go, Adebo.
Something Aaron Rodgers doesn't do, right? He doesn't turn it over in the red zone. Here, Rodgers launches this one deep.
Marcus Williams right now, we are a long way from the Minneapolis miracle. This is a great play. He pushes to the front side, makes a huge play on the football, a great return. The Saints were on point in the secondary all day, and that's how you blow out the Green Bay Packers.
Aaron Rodgers with two interceptions. What is happening? Spell it out. Third and seven, ensuing drive for the Saints. Winston steps up and hits Chris Hogan.
I love his pocket presence here, just keeping his eyes downfield, climbs, and then he finds Hogan another high ball in the red zone.
And he's not done. How about this beauty? 55-yard touchdown to Deontay Harris.
This is what he can do, though. The play action, flip your hips, see that the corner squatted just a little bit, and put a ton of air under it for Harris to go chase it down.
Saints win it by 35. What happened, Matt LaFleur?
Got to give the Saints all the credit in the world. They came ready to play. Absolutely embarrassed us today. And, yeah, it's very humbling to say the least.
I mean, I'll let him use those words, and I'll use it's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game. We got 16 to go.
It's one game, but, I mean, you're talking about a Saints team that was replacing Drew Brees, mm-hmm. that had 10 new starters, that was displaced because of the hurricane, mm. that haven't been practicing at home, and then had to play on a neutral site that was heavily favored for the Packers, and they absolutely got boat raced. Dan, what happened to the Packers?
It's very rare since Matt LaFleur became the head coach in Green Bay that they've been one, outcoached, and then two, outplayed at the quarterback position. But that's what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. I watched a football team that ran the ball 8 times through 3 quarters.
Right.
That's not who the Packers are. I watched a football team use 6 play-action passes in the football game. That's not who the Packers are. There was no commitment to your identity. And that's something that has been a difference maker since Coach LaFleur has got there. And he got outcoached by Sean Payton yesterday. And then Aaron Rodgers is just not a guy that throws turnovers. He's not a right. guy that historically gives the ball away. Jameis Winston has been that person. But under duress, Aaron throws the ball in the shallow cross to Adams in the red zone. That's not the quarterback that we saw last year. And then the bomb on the post that Marcus Williams, that RC talked about, him pushing front side. This is a great play by Marcus Williams. It's not even close
right.
as a completion
exactly.
as well. And that's the rarity is you usually don't see schematically them get out coached, and Sean Payton did that. And then we don't see Aaron be as, you know, careless with the football, so to speak, as he was in those two situations yesterday.
Incredibly careless. In fact, we never see this. He had 2 interceptions when he had more than 2.5 seconds to throw, telling us he had a nice, clean pocket. He had plenty of time, and he still made terrible decisions with the football. How concerning are you that the Packers no-show?
Well, I'm concerned because they understand how important this season is, right? When Aaron Rodgers holds out, when Aaron Rodgers negotiates a contract that can maybe get him out of Green Bay, when it's the last dance and all these references to the opportunity you have to capitalize on your Hall of Fame quarterback that only has 1 Super Bowl appearance, and you show up like this for game one, when everything should truly be in your favor. Mm. Hurricane Ida runs the New Orleans Saints out of their hometown. They're trying to figure out a way to get a home game that's played in Jacksonville. It's 50-50 Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, and you're absolutely outplayed. The Saints are supposed to be the team with all the questions, but the Green Bay Packers are the team that showed up without any answers. Mm. And so when you think about this offseason, Rex, being the head coach Matt LaFleur, not knowing if your quarterback's going to show up, not being able to have any type of chemistry, not playing these guys throughout the preseason, they look like a team that was unprepared.
Yeah.
They look like a team that was physically, mentally, and emotionally unprepared to play this game, and the Saints were ready to pounce on them.
The answer is, I mean, they got smoked like sausage, right? Like, that's the answer right
yes.
here.
First off,
the question is what happened to the Green Bay Packers?
Sausage.
They got smoked like sausage. I'm just telling you, this thing, like, they got strapped. I mean, they couldn't beat man coverage.
Yeah.
Haven't we said forever, including the draft 2 years ago, that wouldn't it be nice to have another receiver? That's what happened to him. They doubled Devontae
Adams. What do you mean, Rex? The GM, Aaron Rodgers went out and got Randall Cobb.
They certainly did.
They made decisions.
It's very petty.
But hey, you know, but maybe that Love kid can play receiver because they got absolutely strapped. Here's what happened. They got, they average, Himbo gave me this stat, which is crazy.
Okay.
All right, on a QBR scale, right, 0 to 100, if you play average, it's 50, okay? Aaron Rodgers versus man coverage yesterday, 4.3 quarterback rating.
Yikes.
What? That's because nobody gets open. That was the thing we had said for years about it. But am I surprised it happened? For all those reasons, Ryan, that you said. Like, 100% I was surprised. They go to Jacksonville. They got a million Green Bay Packer fans in that stadium. It might as well be a home game for you. And they just showed up so bad. And you're right. Did he get out-coached?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, he got out-coached.
Let me play devil's advocate here, because the Packers are known to lay a big fat egg every now and again, right?
Yeah.
If this had not been the offseason that it was with all of the turmoil, would we just sort of write this off as, you know what, they didn't show up week one, they got to work some things out and we'll be fine? Or are we going to make more of this because of all the turmoil that happened here?
Absolutely.
And we should?
I'm absolutely going to make more
of it. So then we're being emotional about it.
No, I'm not. Listen, first off,
I
am not being emotional.
He's not an emotional person.
I'm not emotional at all. I am as relaxed and as calm and as collected as anyone else who does this stinking job.
Sure, sure, sure.
But when you have an offseason that they have, you have to understand the importance of the first game. You also have to understand, listen, Steven Seagal, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the usual relaxed nature in which he plays, it's usually like cute, right? It's cute because he has 300 yards and he has 3 touchdowns, and you're thinking to yourself, man, this guy's like so cool. He has a ponytail.
Uninspired.
And he is killing, right? But when you're doing this and your team's stinking it up, and not only your team stinking it up, but you are, and then you think about the offseason. Right, and you start to weigh that in to the way that they perform, L. I think that has to be a piece of your evaluation.
How do you show up this way? Dan, you and I talked about it. Where was the motion? Where were the picks?
Yeah.
Where were the bunches and all that? If you're facing a man coverage team, were you surprised that New Orleans just played man coverage every snap?
That's what they do for the last five years.
And to not expect that Devontae was going to get doubled. You know, that's what they did. They doubled Devontae in situations.
But
it went back to me of – where was last year? It was motion and play action for this offense. That's what led to their dominant success. And we just didn't see
it game.
After a whole offseason to get ready for that. That to me, I'm not panicking.
It was not.
But that
man,
was odd.
It was a whole offseason of booking private jets to go to California, to go to the set of Jeopardy and try to get Jeopardy's host to be your quarterback. That's what happened. Right?
By the way,
that's fair.
Didn't show up for the first week, Alex?
By the way, the answer is Aaron Rodgers. By the way, if you're at home going, who that saying they're not even going to talk about Jameis Winston winning his debut? That's us here at Get Up. We're going to have to do that later because Aaron Rodgers dominated the conversation as he tends to do. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. Famous was fantastic. We'll get your thoughts on that in a second. But we had a good one in the Subway Series last night, Mets and Yankees, bottom of the sixth. It's good because it got a little petty. You got a little bit of everything. Rex, I know you love baseball. And you watched this one, Francisco Lindor. Launches this home run, his second of the night, but it's about what he's doing that's going to cause some issues. He's rounding the bases, and he's making a whistling motion to the field. They're mocking the Yankees, who they said was whistling on Saturday to alert their hitters to the fact that a Mets pitcher was tipping his pitches. So the Mets are up. Then Stanton crushes this one, and he whistled that thing. Okay, he's whistling Dixie, so now they're talking. Then we would get the benches clearing, but, you know, it's baseball, so they'll just talk a little bit. They'll do the thumbs down and the thumbs
Gardner.
Up. They'll stand there and stare at each other and then they'll move on. Game tied at 6. Tensions are high. Lindy does it again.
What an answer. What
Three
an answer.
Home runs for Lindor. Knocks the Yankees out of the playoffs for now. Keeps their playoff hopes alive. Mets go on to win 7-6. It's been a tough year for Francisco Lindor, but that was certainly sweet. As the Mets are on top. Speaking of which, our next 30 for 30 film, Once Upon a Time in Queens, a 4-part series. First 2 parts premiere tomorrow, starting at 8 Eastern on ESPN. And on the app, takes an unprecedented look into the 86 Mets and their wild ride to a World Series win, parts 3 and 4, Wednesday at 8 and 9 Eastern. But still ahead on Get Up, why won't Matt Nagy give us more Justin Fields? He's been talking to Kirby Smart. What happened? We're going to try and answer it.
You're stupid.
I love it.
What's going on?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by Why the Last Man, now streaming exclusively on FX and Hulu, and ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I did
it!
Guys, I did it! And now I'm done. I'm going to go home. Steelers and Bills, as we welcome you back to Get Up. Second quarter. Highest paid player in defense right there, TJ.
The $100 million man.
Go.
I don't need agents because the deal is good enough. Let's go get him.
Now I can focus on my football. So just before the half, Bills with third and goal. Allen here fires a pass to the back of the end zone, Dan.
Well, his eyes are great, and then he plays in rhythm on this play. Peeks left, watches Gabe Davis cross, and throws an absolutely perfect strike in the back of the end zone.
So Bills up 10-0 at the break. Steelers are marching here, though.
Dunk on him.
Oh, he got dunked on. I mean, Claypool gets up, gets it over. White gets mossed.
Climb the ladder. This is just physicality by 11. Go up, reach a high point, and dunk on a corner.
Only get a field goal, though, so they're down seven. Fourth quarter now. Allen with a backwards pass.
The Buffalo Bills are coached too well to allow this to happen. Look at those defenders up top outside the hash. I love the play call, but give the ability to check out if it's not a good lookout.
Later in the drive after they get the ball, Roethlisberger, Deontay Johnson, the concentration here. Look at that.
Yeah, this is special. Just the ability to track that ball, tip twice, not only catch it, RC, right, but to drag those feet for a touchdown.
So now the Steelers are up by three. Same score. Bills forced to punt on 4th and 12. And here we go, a special teams miscue.
McAfee, get your guys to block up front so we don't get this punt block and totally ruin the game.
3 minutes left now. Roethlisberger again to Claypool.
Dying.
Great pass. Mm.
Steelers would go on and get the field goal. Big Ben, 18 for 32, 188 yards, a touchdown. Steelers upset the Bills. I think most people are a little bit surprised about that. I'm going to start here with our resident Steeler, RC. Your biggest takeaway from what you saw from Pittsburgh yesterday?
Well, if you're Mike Tomlin, you can spin this positively in the meeting, right? You can first come in and say, you know what? This was below the standard of play. This is not who we expect to be in all phases of football. But we continued to get better as the game went on. We played excellent defense. We pressured one of the best quarterbacks in football and beat one of the top teams. And then this is what you say about the offense. Ben Roethlisberger, when it was time, you made the plays you needed to make. Yeah. Deontay Johnson, big catch. Juju Smith-Schuster, huge third down catch on the back shoulder, and a great play to Chase Claypool.
Yep.
You build on this game and you think to yourselves, if we continue to grow as an offense, we're playing championship level defense.
Yeah, you saw that kind of evolution?
Well, I mean, there's this country singer, Toby Keith, and he's got a song when it goes, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Been.
And these are those two throws right here, that back shoulder to Juju, and then that crosser to Claypool. I mean, these are game-winning plays. This is the throw to Juju. I mean, that is a 3rd and 7, man coverage. You got to throw the right throw, and then you're going to get Claypool on a man coverage crosser again. Ball placement. Now, you're not going to ask this out of Ben Roethlisberger for four quarters because he's not who he used to be. But their defense is going to be good enough and potentially great enough after yesterday to keep them in football games. And they might just ask Ben, we need you to make two or three really big plays in the fourth quarter. I don't know how sustainable it is and how likely it's going to happen week after week. But to go into that stadium and to do it against that team, that's impressive. I got to give props to the Steelers for the way Big Ben showed up in the fourth quarter with those two throws.
Well, give him props, you know, with the Toby Keith songs.
I ain't as good as I once was.
Hey, you're not.
I appreciate it, but my thing was don't let the old man in. Because at first in that game, I think Ben let the old man in. He looked like hot garbage early in that game.
Wow.
But what he did at the end was come back and like, oh, shoot, he's still got it. You know, Ryan, you and I were looking. I'm like, Ryan, I think he's done.
No, we said in the first half.
And then all of a sudden in the second half, it's like, oh, hell, he's still, like, he made some great throws there. And it was, but that's him, man. He's like, hey, all right, I'll bounce back. And he did. Mm-hmm. But what I was blown away by was Pittsburgh's defense.
Yeah.
See if you've ever said that before, but this was different.
Yeah.
This was different. Everybody gives credit to Brian Daboll, the great offensive coordinator at Buffalo. He got it handed to him
by Keith Butler.
Yesterday, and here's how he did it. It wasn't blitzing. You think of Pittsburgh as Blitzburg.
Nope.
There was no blitzes. Yeah.
They blitzed one time.
One time in all those dropbacks. It was the front four. And what happened? He let his guys eat. Why? Because Buffalo doesn't run the football.
Yeah.
So they are pinning it. Big Cam Hayward. Mm-hmm. All right. Watt. All those guys were pinning their ears back, and they had one spy. You guys go, and I got the spy. And that's exactly how they defended it, and that's why you saw it. Hey, did you see Josh Allen outside the pocket?
No.
Was he mad? No? I wonder why.
I bet you it's nice for those guys defensively to have a good defensive coach.
One of his 50.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with you. But when I look at it this way, he was so multiple in the back end. Yeah. They kept changing the looks up of coverages.
Yeah, it was good.
And I thought he did it. Unbelievable.
It's the lowest
job.
Blitz rate he's ever faced, and nonetheless, he was completely confused by it. He was like, so none of you are going to come, and to your point, one of his 51 attempts came from outside the pocket. They kept him there, and it worked. I still don't know that we answered the ultimate question when it comes to the Steelers, though, the stamina question. I don't think that we answered that after week one, but nonetheless, you walk out with a win. Let's move on to the Bears and the Rams. It was our night game last night, the nightcap. We were going to see Andy Dalton make his debut for the Bears, and that was, of course, the biggest storyline. It wasn't. It's all about Matt Stafford. We'll get to that in just a minute. But early on, Justin Fields comes in. You'd think you'd want to see more of this, right?
I love it. Second and 10 in the red zone. You give him a quick little RPO, easy completion. Let's get the third and two.
Get Andy Dalton right back in the game.
And we saw
Kirby Smart.
We see Jameis in the red zone put the ball up high for touchdowns. Andy, you're trying to throw strikes. It's got to be face mask or higher tip interception.
And then here comes Matt Stafford. You're not going to be able to keep up. It's like they brought a pillow to a gunfight.
Oh, my God.
Van
What's the offense
going to
look like? Absolute fireworks, America.
We got to hear Dan for 17 weeks about Matt Stafford.
Oh, he loves it. He's going to love this, too, to Cooper Kupp.
This is a beautiful job of, one, my coach is going to scheme something up to beat this coverage. Two, my quarterback's going to do exactly what he needs. And then three, Cooper Kupp is going to beat great coverage.
Stafford's second 50-plus yard touchdown of the game. The Rams only had two all of 2020.
This looks good. I wonder if you could do more of this.
You know what?
This is
Justin Fields again.
To.
Love it. Let's
not
leave him in.
To.
Bears cut it to within six. Unfortunately, it was not to be. We just got little glimpses of Justin Fields. It was all about Matt Stafford and his debut here with Robert Woods. Three touchdowns, 321 yards. The Rams win Stafford's debut. As for the man of the night, Justin Fields, what did you guys think? Is it time now for Chicago, Rex, to officially
make
the move to starter?
I mean, this is unbelievable here. I mean, you look at this. This organization blows me away. Like, you come in, what organization tells Andy Dalton, you know, basically guarantees him, hey, look, you sign with us, we're going to start you. Because based on what? How horrible he played for Dallas last year? Is that why you're going to bring in Andy Dalton? Look, Andy Dalton's never been more than an adequate quarterback. How many playoff wins does he have, Dan? That's right, zero. Zero playoff wins. So why wouldn't you guarantee him a starting job? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And look, they did. I want to praise Chicago for trading up, finding a way to trade up to get this special talent at quarterback. Then why the hell aren't you playing them? I don't understand it. Look, your job as a coach is to get – I don't want to hear this. He's not ready to play. Well, you know what? If he's not ready to play, it's your own dang fault.
Mm-hmm.
So your job as a coach is to get all your players ready to play. Look, I'm no genius, but I think I had a rookie quarterback, Mark Sanchez, ready to play.
Okay, I remember that.
I mean, we did win three straight games to start a season. I know it's impossible to win a game with a rookie quarterback. I think we went to a championship. I guess they just gifted that to you. And then you know what? Geno Smith. All right, Geno Smith was ready to play. We won that opener.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's like, your job, get your players, the whole team, ready to play. And if your quarterback's not ready to play, look in the mirror, pal. This kid right here is a special talent. Maybe they just said, Al, maybe they're like, you know what, that's Aaron Donald over there, dude. Let's play Andy Dalton. Get him crushed and then bring Justin Fields in.
There was a lot of questions as to whether Andy Dalton was going to be a one-week sacrificial lamb, right? Like a lamb to the slaughter. Let him go. Have Aaron Donald can go eat. And the next week you face the Bengals. So based on what you saw, if you're Matt Nagy, what's it going to take for you to say, I'm going to have to go with Justin? This conversation's not going anywhere.
Well, first off, I couldn't be Matt Nagy because if I was Matt Nagy, Justin Fields would have started this game against the Los Angeles Rams. So I can't even put myself in his position because I wouldn't be in the position that he's in. But when you look at what Justin Fields can bring, I was excited when I saw him come in the red zone. I was like, oh, they have a package for him. They're going to use him on more than just one play. And then as the game progressed, I was like, wait, hold up. this is not it.
Yeah.
It was head scratching, like Dan scratching his head, and he ain't got dandruff. You know, and so like that's the thing you start to wonder. Okay, Chicago Bears, you move up, you draft this great talent. Matt Nagy, you understand you're coaching for your job. Why wouldn't you use a guy that you can be more diverse in your play calling, mm-hmm. that gives you an opportunity to get some mm-hmm. special plays that Andy Dalton does not? And so I'm confused. To me, you go in the meeting tomorrow, you say, you know what, guys, I made a mistake. Justin Fields is my starter this week.
What do you think as far as how they're using Justin Fields? Because I know you were frustrated, not just that they didn't use him, but how they used him.
Yeah, what and why? What are we doing and why are we doing it? We talked about the second down play that he comes into the red zone. I loved it. I was surprised by it. And then he gets the completion. I wanted them to get to the line of scrimmage quickly and utilize a quarterback run, a zone read, an RPO, get him on the perimeter to catch the defense off guard, off balance, because then it's going to be a walk-in touchdown. But it felt like it was just going to check a box.
So, Dan, are you thinking right in that situation it's better to go two plays in the huddle
100%.
And come right back out?
Yeah, if I'm the coach, I'm going to go, here's our two plays if we get a completion.
Okay.
If we don't get the completion, maybe there's a different plan. But if we get the completion and you get 7 or 8 yards, shoot, then we're in 3rd and 3 or something like right. that, and the quarterback run is way more and the defense is so unprepared for it. I'm going to set the personnel on the field that I want for the third down play,
right.
get the easy completion on second down, and then I'm going to look like a brilliant head coach.
Right.
But you don't want to be smart. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
almost like we just wanted to check a box of, oh, we got Justin a little bit of time. You know, this will appease the fans for a little bit, and that's my, what are we doing and why?
Bottom line is this. The reason Pete Carroll is a Super Bowl champion is because they went out, they got Matt Flynn. They gave him $10 million guaranteed. You draft Russell Wilson in the third round, and throughout the preseason, you realized he was the best chance
Correct.
To win football games.
Right.
He becomes the starter as a rookie, eventually wins a championship. That's the type of decision Matt Nagy should have made.
You can't play a rookie quarterback. Oh, my goodness.
RC, I know that you had a prediction on this very show last Friday that I would like to remind you of.
What was my prediction? The Monday headline will be Dan Orlovsky will be in studio giving his friend Matthew Stafford the way too early MVP award. Matthew Stafford's going to play well. Sean McVay's going to be excited to unveil his new toy. And we're going to elevate him because it's against the Chicago Bears. And we're going to walk into the get up meeting on Monday morning. And Dan's going to say, give him the MVP right now.
And?
You want to go to Vegas? I think you're spot on. After what I saw last night, 20-26.
How excited was he to do it?
Yo, the first touchdown.
He was so excited. He was like pacing.
He's pacing.
By the way, first player, Matt Stafford, in NFL history to win his team debut while passing for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions.
No big deal.
Much more on Matthew Stafford's debut.
Patter.
Coming up. Also coming up, the Patriots came a little short yesterday, but did Mac Jones answer the most important question heading into Week 1?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. It's time to run the hurry up, and I'm going to start with URC in Atlanta. What did you see from Jalen Hurts as they absolutely mollywopped the Falcons?
I saw poise. I saw control. I saw an ability to make plays outside the pocket, and I saw a quarterback whose team wants to follow him. This team was excited when Jalen Hurts made plays. They felt like the confidence that he had permeated throughout the rest of the football team, and I thought it was beautiful. He made the throws he needed to make. He made the plays outside of the pocket he needed to make, and the Philadelphia Eagles go and get a huge win against a fellow bird early this season.
How about Joe Burrow and the Bengals? They beat the Vikings in overtime. You like that, Dan?
I just called my wife and said, babe, you got to go buy the kids a
bag. That's actually not a lie.
That's a real thing.
He did.
That's a real thing.
My favorite player in the NFL right now, certainly of the weekend, the ball to Ja'Marr Chase is beautiful. This game winner is just, you want to ask, Does a young quarterback have the ability to throw guys open? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened there. To come off that knee injury, to play that well, and to get that win at home, I love me some Joey B.
Okay, I did not love this. Trevor Lawrence in his debut, and the Jaguars just get trounced by the Texans. Concern here, RC?
He's no Joe Burrow, but listen, if you're Trevor Lawrence, you have to be extremely patient with him, and you have to be extremely patient with this team. Urban Meyer, a first-time NFL head coach, Trevor Lawrence in his first start against a Houston Texan team that actually played better defensively than I expected them to. Trevor Lawrence has the talent. We have to give him time to get used to being in the NFL.
And finally, Dan, the J-E-T-S still aren't good. What did you see from rookie Zach Wilson in his debut?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, he's a tough SOB because he showed up. I think the thing play-wise was early on the game was really fast for him. He could not adjust to it. And two, windows in the NFL might be the same size in college, but they close a lot faster.
Yeah,
and the length of defenders is a lot different. I think he had to adjust to that. He got hot as the second half went on, but it just took some time for him to settle in. He's going to be fine. They just got to keep him upright.
Yeah, so safe to say then after we gave him a gold jacket after one preseason game, we can at the very least just pause it for now.
A little different.
I also thought it's a very Jets topic that the biggest talker out of that game was the punter.
Where's
getting
Green?
Hurt and
come
the kicker being better. Let's talk about Mac Jones also making his debut, Patriots and Dolphins here. We're going to see him roughing the passer, right? Get healed. That's very boring.
He's already getting Tom Brady calls.
But because of the call, he's going to get another chance. Nice. Spot plays Rob later here.
Yeah, I love it. Down in the red zone, little flash fake, touchdown. And I love the fact that he's like, no, I want more game-winning or touchdown throws. The first ball doesn't matter.
Game tied at 10. Of course, this is a battle between a couple of former Bama quarterbacks, Tua here to Devontae Parker.
Yeah, we saw this a little bit where Devontae Parker climbed the ladder a couple times. Tua put it where only he could go catch it. Great catch by 11.
Short little throw here as he rolls out.
Get in, Waddle. That's a nice play.
Jalen Waddle's first career TD.
Yeah, good motion, and then that ball placement allows him to go reach for the front pylon.
Tua under pressure here, trying to make something happen.
Know who you aren't before you know who you are. This is not who you are, Tua. You are not this runaround special playmaker. Be a tactician. You get away with it. Great pressure by Judon, but for Tua to throw this ball up for grabs, and it ends up being a tipped interception, this is not the type of play that you were drafted to go make.
So a huge turnover for the Patriots, under four to go. They're looking to capitalize here. Damian Harris. He loses the ball.
Yeah, it's great rip. It's a great rip
absolutely.
By Howard.
Yes.
You know, they're in that
Howard.
Kind of pile. Watch that rip right there. The rip and punch gets that ball out. Second fumble by Harris costs him the game.
So there it is. Miami would run out the clock. They win this one by a point. Mac Jones, 29 for 39, 281 yards and a touchdown. He threw the ball almost 40 times in his debut. Why? What did you make of what you saw from Mac Jones despite the loss?
He was the best rookie quarterback in the NFL yesterday. Best rookie quarterback in the NFL yesterday, and it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was absolutely fantastic. He makes four or five throws under pressure where he's getting sawed off that are fantastic. A couple shallow crosses that were so good under some pressure. This is a beautiful throw. He's going to get hit. Bang, right into the chest. He finds the crosser to Hunter Henry. Good job hanging in there in the pocket. This is awesome. You get pressure, drift, drift, drift. Throw Jacoby Myers away from the coverage. His touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. Watch. Here comes the defender. Hang in there. Still take a shot. Put it. He's got a ball to James White. That's great on 3rd and 11. I just was really impressed with him making throws. And we say under pressure, and sometimes we use it incorrectly. You know, it's not necessarily getting blitzed. It's somebody is barreling down on you and you've got to make a throw just as you're getting hit. I thought he was incredibly impressive with that. Best rookie quarterback in football yesterday. He was absolutely fantastic.
Dan said something about Tua. He said, this is not who you are.
Yeah.
On the play that he throws the interception. This is who Mac Jones is, mm-hmm. right? There was a reason that when Mac Jones heard his name called by the New England Patriots, he skipped, flipped, and jogged to the stage. Because he understood that it was the right place for him, that he was the type of quarterback that could excel in the Patriots' form of offense. And we saw that yesterday. He was poised. He anticipated. He was accurate. And this is who Mac Jones has been since he played at Alabama for Nick Saban. And what you saw yesterday is more of what you're going to get. You're going to get a quarterback that, to me, from neck up, plays beyond his years.
Yeah.
And we saw that yesterday. And I'm going to be honest. You talked about him being – the best rookie quarterback. He was the best quarterback on the field yesterday between him and Tua Tagovailoa, and that was also not close. The sky's the limit for Mac Jones in that place. Now, I remember coming into the draft, right, people were like, oh, everybody crushed Mac Jones. I didn't think Mac Jones was supposed to go 3.
Okay.
I thought he could go 15.
Okay.
I thought he could be great at the New England Patriots. And when he, when Bill Belichick made the decision to start Mac Jones over Cam Newton, the first thing I said was this: I trust Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
If Bill Belichick is making this decision, it's for a reason, and we saw it yesterday.
You know what was interesting? The first half of the game, they didn't ask him to do a ton. He was really efficient. And then as that game got on, I was in my notes writing to myself, they're turning the game over to Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. He just started to make play after play. And I firmly believe if Harris does not fumble that ball, that he is going to throw a game-winning touchdown pass. He was playing in that much kind of control of his game, picking the spots to push the ball downfield. He's got a great hole shot, the ball to James White, the ball down the middle of the field to Aguilar. Listen, New England's expected to win a lot of football games. But for that quarterback to play against that top five defense, his first start in the NFL, and to look that much in control, you got to sit there and go, this football team's got a chance to win the division.
I'd also say this, too. For Josh McDaniels, it's extremely smart when you know you have Byron Jones and Xavier Howard on the outside to protect Mac Jones from throwing the football out there. They did a great job of helping him be successful.
It was certainly a great debut for him. And to your point, it sort of looked like the Bills were going to run away with this division.
Yeah.
Maybe not so based on what we saw yesterday. What we're going to see tonight is going to tell a lot. The 52nd season of Monday Night Football kicks off.
Lamar.
We have been waiting for this, right? The pandemic robbed us of a lot. It also robbed us of the Vegas Raiders fans opening up Allegiant. We're going to get that tonight. It's going to be a good one. Our predictions coming up on that special edition of Monday Night Countdown kicking off at 6 Eastern. Still ahead here on Get Up. It was a miserable Sunday for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Should we relax, or are there more serious issues in Green Bay?